Show is about to begin.
And now for something completely different.
Come on, feel the noise.
I want to rock.
Let's get the rock out of here.
Damn straight.
Are you ready to rock?
You know who I am.
Who are you?
Your DJ for this evening.
One night in one American city. Multiply that by hundreds of cities and what have you got? A country where culture means pornography and slasher films. Where ethics means payoffs, graft, insider trading. Where integrity means lying, whoring, and intoxication. This country is in deep trouble, people. This country is rotten to the core, and somebody better do something about it. Open your mouth and tell them what we're going to do about the mess this country's in. Talk radio. It's the last neighborhood in town. People just don't talk to each other anymore.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. Glad to be along with you again as we are every week, or at least almost every week. My name is Brad, along with my magic co-host Matt and Todd Sheets, the Batman in the Batcave here at the Jackalope Radio Studios. And having Skype issues, but I think Matt's there. Testies, 1, 2, 3. Matt, are you there?
I'm still hanging in. I haven't heard that beep, that dreaded beep from Skype that lets me know that I'm gone.
You know, here's the thing. Todd constantly complains about how Skype is just horrible and it's getting worse. And I must admit, it's sounding worse. We're having more and more problems. But Matt, apparently Skype is the only thing out there that we can use, because God forbid we would look at using something else for this.
No. I'm pretty sure in today's day and age of technology that they only invent one thing of everything.
Yes.
And then you just deal with it.
It's Skype or nothing. Is that right, Todd Sheets, executive producer? Skype or nothing?
I actually have been playing with a couple of others, and the problem is none of them are as versatile as Skype as far as, like, you know, overseas calls and all these different things. I'm getting kind of mad about it. I'm like, what is the deal? It's like they almost have a patent on a certain technology and no one else can use it or something.
Wow, they sure have been doing a bad job with it.
They have.
No doubt.
Man. If only I weren't overseas, darn it.
Hey, wait a minute. You are overseas, aren't you? Wait, no, you're not. Sorry.
No, just maybe a couple small rivers.
You are,
or cricks.
You are in the temple of the man's eye of the Midwest. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
When you look at the map of the United States, you know where the guy is, don't you? The hat is Minnesota. The face, the head is Iowa. The body is Missouri. And his lower part in legs and feet are Louisiana, right in the middle.
I'm looking now.
You see what I'm talking about there?
No, I'm waiting for stupid Google Maps.
Yeah, slow. Damn internet.
Stupid internet. Somebody should invent a new internet. Okay, Minnesota's the hat.
Minnesota's the hat.
Okay.
And Iowa is the head and the face.
Okay.
And then the body is Missouri.
Okay.
And then I believe Louisiana, just below Missouri.
Arkansas,
whatever. My geography's terrible. Arkansas? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
It's Arkansas.
Yes.
Arkansas and Louisiana probably make out the rest of the man.
Right.
Is that,
that's dumb.
You never knew about that?
No, and I'm glad I didn't. That's dumb.
Boy.
It doesn't look like a man.
It's great to have Afkar back on the show. Thank God you're here, Afkar. It's been so long.
Well, Brad, you know, in my mind, when you say Jared's name, I automatically want to start talking like Squidward from SpongeBob. No particular reason.
Just because.
Doesn't necessarily sound like that. But
yeah.
Just because he kind of reminds me of a real life version of Squidward from SpongeBob.
I have no comment.
I
have no comment. Let's do the hello song this morning and get ourselves fired up. Yeah, let's do it. Here we go. You ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello.
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 I'm here to say hello.
Yeah, yeah.
I was gone, but not for long, so now I'm back to sing this song. Hello.
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 I'm going to say goodbye. You're out, I'm even, now I'm leaving. Don't just stop to wonder why. Hello.
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 Let's get
hello.
On with the show. I've got to blow, look out below, because now it's time for me to go. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We're
hello.
Getting near the end. You must be knowing now I'm going. No more precious time to spend. Hello.
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 It's over with and done.
Hello, everybody.
I just dropped in to leave again. and I hope you had a lot of fun. Hello.
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 I'm on my merry way. But as we part,
I've got a fart.
You have some hearts. We might just say goodbye one day.
Yeah, everybody, welcome to the Brad Westmar Show. Mr. Westmar has a little bit of the toots tonight. I do.
Thanks for sharing.
I do apologize, but hey, speaking of the toots, I do have something special to play. I've got to plug this into a different spot. I got another phone call, another voicemail from our new friend, and I want to go ahead and play it here. I believe this is another call from the Phantom Bomber. Here we go. Let's see what we got here.
Westmar, here's my imitation of a Todd Sheets show file.
There you have it.
Surprisingly accurate.
Surprisingly accurate. Do you hear the distortion and you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Bear with me here. I got to find the right hole to stick this in. Bear with me there. Let's see. Make sure it's the right hole. I think so.
Okay. I didn't sound like it. She sounds angry.
Like an angry Chinese woman. Hey, have you watched Joe Rogan Questions Everything?
No.
You haven't? Seriously, what is your problem? How is it that you can star with him for so many years on that show, News Radio?
Well, Bill.
Yes.
No, I've never even heard of it.
It's a new TV show on, I don't know, some freaking network that Joe Rogan Questions Everything. Now, Joe Rogan, not an attractive man. He may have been at one time, but the man has smoked so much weed. And he has no hair like me now. He does not look good without hair and all bulked up and all stoned out. And he's still got the annoying voice that it's okay for, like, you know, a few lines every half an hour show of News Radio. But for him to do an entire show for an hour, it gets a little annoying. But on the very first episode, he went in search of Bigfoot. And I got to tell you. I got to tell you that after watching it, all it did was help me believe more. All it did was help me believe more in Bigfoot.
Well, why wouldn't it, Brad? Because it's real.
Exactly. It is real.
He's out there. I'm sure he would have found him by now, but...
Yeah. All right, let's talk about something better. For just a minute. I got to tell you, every episode makes me a little bit sadder. And I have this feeling... I mean, there's going to be some action in this season. But the action has been limited so far in two episodes. I'm a little concerned about being let down. I always start to feel let down the last few episodes of a series. I'm scared.
Well, but this one is, there's been such a buildup to this confrontation. Should we say spoiler alert first?
Spoiler alert for you dummies who aren't caught up. Yeah, I mean, it's only five seasons, for God's sakes. You can catch up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway, okay, you have been warned. But the whole series has been building up to this confrontation between Walt and his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just, but you know, it's finally happened.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't even mind. It's so intense and the everything is so tense right now in general on the show. I don't even mind that there's been virtually no action through two episodes.
Pardon me. Todd, could you turn your mic off if you're going to open up your Walmart bag? Thank you. Sorry.
But you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I do agree. Yeah. I do agree. And the confrontation that happened on the first episode was definitely worth watching multiple times. I have also resorted myself to turning, and I tweeted this a few days ago, resorted myself to now turning my television up to about 87 during every episode of Breaking Bad, just so I can hear every word. And one of my Twitter followers mentioned that a good idea might be to go ahead and turn the subtitles on. So if I can find that on my TV, I might have to do that, because they
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, because I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to turn them back off.
That's a good point, too. Make a good point. But, I mean, it was a great confrontation. I think now that, you know, Tread Lightly now has new meaning.
Oh, man.
You know? And
I had goosebumps for literally 10 minutes after watching that show, that episode.
I can understand why. I can.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm getting them right now thinking about it, that's for sure, because I've kind of really overplayed that scene in my head and watched it a few times and just kind of gotten the gist of really just how freaking nuts Walt has gotten, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really even know who the hell he is anymore, you know?
No, he is straight up off the deep end.
Yeah, Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. So I believe this next episode, episode 3 of the final season 5B, is going to include some type of confrontation, possibly at a restaurant, it looks like. Not necessarily a confrontation, but at least a meeting. Yes.
Did you like the way they started it, though? It was just so surreal seeing the white household gated up.
Oh yeah,
graffiti.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. And Christy, who still not really watched much of Breaking Bad at all, was watching that kind of intro out of the corner of her eye while I was watching that. And when she did, and when the neighbor said hi, and then drops the groceries. You know, my wife's like, well, what's going on? Why is she so crazy? I said, okay, do you want to watch the show or do you want me to just pause it and explain the entire 5 seasons to you now? And she's like, okay, I'll shut up. It's like, you know, seriously. Yeah, yeah. Because words cannot express, as you watch this final 6 episodes, of how much stuff has gone on in these 5 short seasons that at times the episodes may have seemed to drag, but everything's tied together and it's so well done. And I cannot express how wonderful this show is and how sad it is that it's going away.
You hang in there.
I'll tell you what, I'm sad. Now,
And yes. I don't want to hear you more talk about you being disappointed. It'll be just fine.
It'll end
awesome.
But I'll still be disappointed when it's over.
I know, but there's a lot of other good shows hanging around out there.
So have you been watching the new one, Bad Moon Rising, or whatever it's called?
No, I haven't both recorded, but I haven't gotten around to watching
it yet. Hazy Shade of Winter, or whatever it is?
It's like...
Long Way Down?
It reminds me of a craft beer title, actually.
What's it called again?
I don't know.
I think...
Do you already say Bad Moon Rising?
Yeah.
Did you already say that one?
I said Long Way Down, Hazy Shade of Winter, Walking on Sunshine. What's it called? What's it called?
Low Winter Sun.
Moon's a Harsh Mistress. Low Winter Sun.
Yes.
China Red. Okay.
Cow jumped over the moon.
I got to tell you right now, I have not watched a lick of this, and I do have both episodes, but I'm telling you, Matt, I am close to hitting delete. I have watched in passing some previews, and it's just not grabbing me. I'm just, the premise, it just doesn't sound that interesting. I don't really care. The Breaking Bad premise from day one, when they told you a chemistry teacher finds out he has terminal cancer and decides to make meth, to sell meth, make and sell meth to make money for his family for when he's gone, that attracts people, you know?
It took me a long time to jump on board with that show, though.
Yeah.
The premise sounded okay, and then all I saw was, you know, advertisements of Bryan Cranston and his tighty whities.
Right.
And it kind of scared me off for like 3 years.
Yeah, well, but fair enough. But the show, I mean, on this one, you were kind of JJ the Pollocking. You were kind of behind the curve on that one, you know?
Oh, I'm behind the curve on a lot of shows just because I don't have time.
Because a lot of people were already on that show when you and I discovered it and started watching it. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and then, let's be honest, I was actually ahead of your curve on that one. So...
Yeah,
but I don't know. I just don't know about this Bad Mood Rising show. We'll see. I don't know. There's other things I want to see, man.
You got to watch it at least. You got to watch the first couple episodes.
I got to find the time and desire to do it. I don't know.
It's sometimes though. There's some duds out there. I had to pull the plug on The Americans on FX.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's about these KGB spies set in the 80s, during the Cold War, and I just couldn't do it. I watched probably 4 episodes and just nothing ever happened. And I'm like, you know, everybody knows how this ends. Why am I watching this? Everyone knows exactly how this story ends.
Right. That's true.
So I pulled the plug on that one. They're not all winners.
No, they're not. But I'd rather watch Sons of Anarchy or something like that.
Oh, you definitely have to watch that one.
See? You see? Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, real quick. You know, We're going to jump right into this. You were in town a couple of weeks ago, and we got a chance to spend a long afternoon and into evening with you and your family, which was fantastic. We had a great time. Mm-hmm. We shot some more episodes of the Craft Brew Crew that'll be coming out in the near future, and which, by the way, is taking off very well. You can go to youtube.com/craftbrewcrew or just go to bradwestmar.com, and you can see the episodes posted there. But needless to say, You told me a little story that I found very fascinating. I was very disappointed that you that you held off on this and have not said a word. This is such great show material. I don't know how you could hold back on this. And I hope Todd Sheets is awake for this, because I think he'll appreciate this, because he's all about imaginary friends and stuff like that. Can you tell us a little bit about your daughter?
My creation.
Yeah, and your creation and what we got going on here.
Well, I didn't say anything, so I guess I didn't realize how entertaining it would be outside of my own household until I talked to more people about it.
More people?
There's several people now that know the story of Pete Exciting.
Okay.
My daughter Ava loves to play Barbies, and I cannot tell her no. And my wife is terrible. She admits that she's terrible at playing those imaginary games with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I always get recruited by Ava to play Barbies. And then through the last year, I think Pete was created probably a year ago. And it's just a Barbie. He's shirtless. He's got crazy hair. It's got to be an old Ken doll
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I named him Pete Exciting.
Okay.
And from there, I created this entire backstory for Pete Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Pete, for example, Pete doesn't have a shirt on, and he never wears a shirt.
Never.
And he refuses to wear a shirt.
Okay.
And so he's kind of a vain character. So obviously he faints at the sight of himself in a mirror because he's so good looking. He can't control the volume of his voice when he gets nervous.
Okay.
So he just tends to holler sometimes when he gets nervous or in a nervous situation. And I should say that part of the reason he's so vain is Pete is a former soap actor.
Okay.
And he's since transitioned into doing sci-fi original movies.
Okay.
So
Jesus.
So
well, a lot Pete of thought is, into this, Matt.
Yes, yes. And it just kind of comes to me as we're playing. And then, he's also, Ava's got a unicorn, and it terrifies him. He's terrified of all mythical creatures, especially unicorns. So we have to hypnotize him so he can be around the unicorn.
I love it.
And then, let's see. Oh, he's obviously married to a Barbie.
Of course.
But her name's not Barbie.
Oh.
Her name is Love Hewitt Exciting.
Of course it is. And I know exactly why that is, because you have a fascination for Jennifer Love and her Hewitts.
Maybe a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stacy's thrilled about that one.
Yeah, I'm sure
she is.
But
hey, that's what you get when you don't play Barbies. When you leave it in my hands, Jennifer Love Hewitt finds her way into the game.
Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and then that's not the only Ken doll she's got. So she's gotten a couple other Ken dolls. One of them is Bert Exciting, Pete's brother. Bert also does not wear a shirt ever. And he happens to be a huge star. He's like the Ryan Seacrest of Belize.
Oh, really?
So he's the host of Belizean Idol. So he kind of comes and goes depending on when the show's shooting.
I see.
In our stories, yes. And they have another brother, Kyle. Kyle is he's boring. Kyle doesn't have he's not as ripped as Pete and Bert.
Oh, really?
He's really boring. Yeah, he's boring. He wears a shirt all the time.
Kind of chubby.
No, he's just skinny.
Skinny.
He's kind of built like I am.
Okay.
In real life.
Kind of skinny.
Yeah. So he's he always wears a shirt. He's got a boring job. He's an insurance adjuster. He just naps all the time.
I thought you were going to say that he appraises real estate for a living.
No, that's exciting.
I love this. This is great.
Yes. And then of course, now that he's his big sci-fi movie that was recently released to, I don't want to say huge acclaim, but acclaim, was Raccoonosaurus.
That's right. I love Raccoonosaurus.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yes.
So, with the success of that, we had to create Pete a Twitter page. So we did that a few weeks ago, and that was part of. We actually did that, I think, during my recovery from my appendectomy. So that's like when Ava really had me pinned down.
Yeah.
So I was like on the couch all the time. So she would just come down with these Barbies and just pile them around me. And so we created a Twitter page. We Pete and Love renewed their marriage vows. It was officiated by Bert. Because he was ordained from the tribal elders in Belize. You know, Bert's actually married to a former Miami Dolphins cheerleader.
Of course.
Yep, and Kyle is married to her sister.
Wait, who's Kyle?
That's right. Kyle's the boring brother.
Oh, okay, gotcha. That's right. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Not Kip, Kyle. Yeah.
No, there's no Kip.
Gotcha.
There's no Kip. Okay. Sorry.
Kip. Okay.
And there's plenty of other stuff that has come up in the world of the exciting brothers.
I just want you to know that it's a little creepy.
It is so awesome.
It's a little creepy, though.
And Pete has gone from like playing, like just communicating with the Barbies when we get them out,
uh-huh,
to like talking to everyone else in the house. So he'll like yell for Stacy or Allie or whoever happens to be around.
And what does Ava think about all this? She loves it, doesn't she?
Oh, she loves it.
Well, truth be told, that this is going to be a moment in her life that she will never forget about her crazy father before they committed him to the, you know, right?
Her father and his, the definition of an overactive imagination.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great, yes, though. I love it. I mean, you've got more patience than I do, though, and probably more creativity than I do. You probably should be writing a movie script with Todd Sheets, but you know, Todd likes to take all the credit for himself. So you're not going to be able to do that. Todd, well, go ahead, Matt. Yeah.
I was going to say, too, you know, I forgot to mention a couple more things about Pete from his Twitter page.
Oh, yes.
He was the stunt double for Ken in Toy Story 3.
Okay. Okay.
And he's also a 2-time daytime Emmy, 3rd runner-up for Best Abs.
Best Abs, yes.
Yeah. Do you want to know the name of the soap that he used to be on?
Please.
The Sins of Consuela.
The Sins of Consuela.
Yep. It's not a very, it wasn't a very big soap. That's why he's doing movies now.
You're scaring me, man. This is crazy. We need to move on to something a little more masculine right now. Don't you think?
We do.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to go on to football here. Todd, by the way, you have any comments on Matt's overactive imagination? I think you understand about overactive imaginations.
I'm kind of proud of him. Kind of proud.
Okay.
Thank you, Todd. I knew you would be.
Let's talk football. It's a little more masculine. I don't know if anybody out there that listens to the show is even into football, but we've been told in the past that even our Scottish and British and Australian listeners tend to like hearing us talk about American sports. Apparently, we're pretty good at it. So, I don't know. Matt, I don't know.
We're pretty good at talking about American sports.
Apparently, we're pretty good at making non-Americans, entertaining non-Americans when talking about American sports.
Well, all right.
They actually said, we, even though they don't really know about American sports that much, that they still find it entertaining. So I thought that since we weren't doing Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football this year due to the fact that you got sick of keeping all the stats because I kept winning, which I completely understand.
You were running away with things.
I was. I thought it'd be a good idea, Matt, to maybe just pick a few little categories, not necessarily for a weekly fantasy football thing, but for example, one of the things that I had in mind when we first came up with this concept of Bass Ackwards Fantasy Football was, you know, for example, how long is it going to be this season before Fred Sanders gets hurt? Well, Fred Sanders retired, if I'm not mistaken. Frank Sanders. Who is Bob Sanders? Whatever.
You made me go to the
Fred Sanford
the show notes.
Fred Sanford.
I had to go to the show notes to make sure I wasn't missing something.
Fred Sanford. Fred Sanford. No, Bob Sanders retired. Correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he's officially retired, but more or less.
He doesn't count. So, but no. Here's a great question for you. How? And we can do this one to begin with. I think you and I should both pick a date. That by that date, by the end of that day, that day's games, Michael Vick will be injured and probably sitting out by the next game. You know what I'm saying? Like out, like
right.
Injured, like out.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. What point is he injured so badly that he has to miss a game?
Yeah. So we can just do it by week numbers if you don't mind, rather than picking a date. Let's just do it by week numbers.
So are we going to do the week that he misses or the week that he got hurt?
We should do the week that he gets,
probably week he misses.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah. Which game will he miss? Which is the first game he will miss?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm gonna go with, you know, I'm gonna let you go first. I'm gonna let you go first with Michael Vick. What week do you think will be the first week Michael Vick misses? And we're gonna say due to injury, but we're just gonna say overall. I mean, like if Michael Vick gets run over by a car, that counts. But for the most part,
so benched counts too.
For this particular situation, I'll say yes, given the situation. He is clearly not the clear-cut number one. He was just named starting quarterback. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I say anything. Yeah. But I'm thinking more along the lines of injury. But because usually Michael Vick does not lose his – Michael Vick doesn't get benched that much. Michael Vick just gets hurt and then loses his starting job. So that's what happens. So because he's Michael Vick and you can't bench Michael Vick, you know.
Well, true.
But I think their new coach might. But that's a different story. That new coach is short and fat. He kind of reminds me of Kevin James.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about Michael Vick. It's not his guy.
Exactly. So give me a week you think Michael Vick will be on the bench or on the sideline with a limp.
I'm gonna give him week six.
That's I'm gonna make it interesting. I wanna go either five or seven. And I'm gonna go with week five. I'm gonna go back a week. I'm gonna roll the dice and say week five. Can you keep track of this for us at least today?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, okay.
Me?
Yeah. If you don't mind keeping track of this.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
So week five and week six we say. Okay, Michael Vick. Now another one I had down that I think is relevant, and I'm gonna let you help me with some other ones here, is Mark Sanchez. Because you know Mark Sanchez, he kinda sucks. And
yes.
The Jets are just one big drama mama. And Mark Sanchez is, from what I understand, by all accounts, going to be the starting quarterback, as far as we know. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So what week does Mark Sanchez either get hurt or get benched? Now, Mark Sanchez can definitely get benched. And, of course, they have the wonderful savior, Geno Smith, waiting in the wings to take over. And I'm going to guess first, and I'm going to tell you that by week – I know what you probably already have a number in mind. I'm probably going to steal your number. And this might be pushing it. I'm going to say by week four, Sancho is on the bench. By week four. What do you think?
That's a terrific guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to say even sooner.
Well, yeah.
Because the only reason I think that Geno Smith isn't starting this season is because of the high ankle sprain he took about a week and a half ago.
See?
And that's a six-week injury, and we're 3 weeks away from the season.
This is why it pays for you to be more up on this stuff. That's good.
Week two.
Okay.
Week two.
Fair enough. Week two for week four. Cool. Now, I had a few other things written down, but because I firmly believe as a Kansas Citian, I believe that Jamaal Charles is a twig. And I believe that for as talented of a running back he is here in Kansas City, he's a twig. I was not surprised at all when he tore his ACL a couple of years ago, and I would not be surprised at all if he breaks in half because Andy Reid runs him into the ground. And so we may as well do this one really quick too, Matt. I'm going to say that Jamaal Charles is on the bench and not playing by week. And this is a stretch because it could be early because he's already been hurt once. It could be early. But I'm going to give him through week 10. I'm going to say on week 10, at week 10, Jamaal Charles will go down and be out of not playing in the game that weekend on week 10. Hopefully I'm not picking their off week, but you never know.
Well, he's hurt, he won't be playing.
Well, that's true too. So do you want to go ahead and take a shot on that one too, as long as we're doing it, since it's a Kansas City one?
Oh, yes. Let me see. I'm going to take a quick peek at their schedule because I do have it right here.
Listen to this guy.
To make sure we're not doing the bye weeks.
Good question.
Who cares about the preseason schedule?
Poop
NFL.com.
Poop on that.
Oh, gosh. Week 10 is their bye week. You better pick another one.
All right. I'm going to say week 9.
Okay.
Week 11. Week 9.
I got to rewrite 9.
Can you do that, Therapeutic Exciting? Come on.
Yes, I can do it.
That was a wet one.
You know what?
Yes.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, please.
I'm going to say he makes it through the whole year without getting hurt.
That's some big Sanchos right there, let me tell you. Okay.
Because I don't think Andy Reid will run him into the ground. I don't think he doesn't have a history of giving his running backs that
much
of a workload.
Let's go back and take a look at the previous running backs that Andy Reid has had on his team. Okay?
Right.
LeSean McCoy. Okay.
Yep.
Hurt occasionally. Okay. Let's go back even deeper, though. Brian Mitchell. Okay. Brian Westbrook. I'm sorry. Whatever. Brian Westbrook. Deuce Daly. Okay.
Yeah. But okay. Those guys didn't get run into the ground. They were just injury prone.
All right. We'll see.
I'm going to look up Brian Westbrook. Hold on.
Not right now. During the break. Yes. During the break.
Okay.
During
I can do it while we're doing
yeah.
this.
Yeah. Give me
I can do two things at once.
Give me another category.
All right. Brian Westbrook. Most carries in a year, 278. That's not a lot. The guy that leads the league will have like 75 more carries than that. He only cracked 250 carries one time in his whole career. That is not running anyone
well,
into the ground.
That's true. Andy Reid is not known to run a running back. He is known to throw a lot of passes to them, though, and get them whacked.
If you count their passes,
that's my point.
Yes,
that's my point.
They have a lot of touches.
That's what I meant. Touches, not. Okay. That's what I meant. And they're going to be. And Jamal Charles is going to be doing a lot of touching this year.
All right, I'm going to say injury week 14.
Through week 14. Now you're saying.
I'm going to say week 14.
Oh, so you changed.
Just a little ding. Okay. Nothing severe. Just a little ding.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now give me another category.
All right, how about this one? Name the team that has the next player arrested for a felony.
Wow. It's
right up your alley.
Yeah, it is. And that, I mean, there are 32 teams now? 31?
Yeah.
32? 30?
And you could pick anybody.
You really could. This is a good question. You know, the Jets have a lot of internal problems. The Steelers, I don't think, are really looking that hot these days. The Cowboys are a great possibility, and you know, I'm going to go ahead and just pick my team. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Cowboys. I'm going to say the Cowboys because they're known to have some issues there. I think there's a lot of people with a lot of migraines walking around, One Texas Drive, and so I'm going to say somebody on the Cowboys is going to get arrested and in trouble with a felony. What do you think?
I think is the most dysfunctional team in the league. It's the Detroit Lions.
Detroit Lions. But Matt Millen's gone.
What's that?
No, I just said
Matt Millen's gone.
Yeah, but they still have the beady eye guy.
Yeah, the guy that's coach now is just, he's crazy. Just flat out crazy. And I'm kind of silently hoping that it's Ndamukong Suh.
I figured you were going to say that. That's unfortunate. Shame on Husker. Come on, man. Okay. Fair enough. What else do you have for category? Anything else?
Yeah, how about, all right. Who wins more games? I'd say they're probably got similar expectations.
Okay.
Your Cowboys or my Dolphins?
Wow, that is tough. There's a lot of expectations for the Dolphins this year. There's always expectations for the Cowboys every year. It's very, very hard for me to go against the Cowboys, though they have really not looked very good lately. I don't think they did a very good job in the draft, as usual. I'm going to go off the cuff. I was the guy who was always known in the work football pool. I was smart. I was the only guy that would ever pick against his team. I knew people that would never pick against their Jay, for example. If we worked together, I guarantee he would never pick against the Eagles. I guarantee he would never do that. Probably because he thinks it would be a bad omen or something like that, and that's fair. But I never had a problem picking against my team. I figured, look, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. But my Cowboys are going to lose some games. They're going to every year. So you're kind of stupid to just pick them every game. You may as well go ahead and be honest with yourself. If it's a tough game and you're not sure, go ahead and pick against them. And if they win, hey, you can be happy that your team won. So what if you lost the effing football pool, right? But then if you pick for them and they lose, you're not surprised. I mean, you need to use your brain when picking. So after telling you this long, dumb story, I'm going to let you know that I'm going to go ahead and say
I'm going to say
your Dolphins are going to win more games. I really don't know that I believe that, but knowing how the Cowboys are just about as dysfunctional as the Detroit Lions, I'm going to go ahead and say the Dolphins are going to win more games. What do you think, Matt?
I wholeheartedly agree, and I don't. It's not a shot at the Cowboys. It's just that they play, I think, in a tougher division.
That's true too. So there's not much of a competition there for us, but we can keep an eye on it anyway.
Well, we got to pick. Let's for a tiebreaker. Let's pick a number.
All right. I'm gonna
give the Dolphins 11 wins.
Wow, that's ballsy.
Yeah,
that is ballsy.
Speaking of homerism,
no kidding. I think 10 might be pushing it. I think that 9 barrier is going to be a good cusp to consider going over or under for Dallas and Miami. And I'm going to go ahead and say 9 wins for the Dolphins, and that the Cowboys will probably be under that, as I've already said. So that's my guess.
Yeah. That's kind of nine. Nine was the cowboy number I had.
Yeah. Well, and I was kind of thinking that too, but 10 wins for the Dolphins. You see why that's a very tough question, really, when you get down to it. So I'm with you. I'm with you. What, you got one more before we take a break or not? If you don't.
Sure. How about the Chiefs? How many games are the Chiefs going
to
win?
It's another tough one because it's easy to go right there in that wheelhouse of that middle range. I think the expectations are pretty high. This is the safe way out to say eight, but I really think that if they go higher than eight or eight and eight, it's a win-win situation for that. You can't be upset. I think 8-8 is more realistic. I think that going from two wins to one win. Going from one win to 8 wins, it would be a pretty good thing. If they can win more than that, wow. So I'm going to say 8. I know it's middle of the road, but I think that's realistic.
Man, that was my guess, but I'll pick a different one. I'll say 9.
Okay.
I'm going to give them 9.
Yeah. I mean, that's, again, like I said, it's tough to think any higher than that. I mean, I could have said 13, but let's be realistic here. I'm not stupid, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be realistic, you know?
Yeah, that's maybe a little overly optimistic.
I think so. So, hey, there we go. It's our new system for NFL, just to kind of have fun with it here this season. Matt can keep those numbers handy for every show this year. During the football season, we can kind of keep an eye on things. And in the meantime, Todd, if we could, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, I've got a couple of different tunes I want to play for you. And if we got time, we might have a quick phone interview as well. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we will be right back.
This is the Brad Westmar Show.
'Cause once you're in, you'll never find your way out.
Tattoos are painful, and body piercing is so passé. Today, everybody wants the hottest new look. Body stapling. At Gargantua Mall, it's Melinda's Body Stapling.
Hi, I'm Melinda.
It's quick. It's easy. Let Melinda staple your body. Rings, postcards, pictures of mom. You're limited only by your imagination. Never lose your driver's license again. Or just try his and her stapling. For that special someone, visit Melinda's Body Stapling in the Gargantua Mall today and receive a gold-plated staple for the price of a regular staple. That's Melinda's Body Stapling.
Hi, I'm Melinda.
In the Gargantua Mall.
No, you'll never be able to leave at all when you shop Gargantua Mall.
Thank you for listening, all three of you. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. Brad, Magic Matt, and Todd Sheets in the Batcave. Glad to be along with you again. We really appreciate your listenership. You can check us out at bradwestmar.com, jackaloperadio.com, as well as our new craft beer review YouTube show at youtube.com/craftbrewcrew. If you haven't heard about it, you probably should check it out. Even if you don't like beer, Matt, we're kind of entertaining sometimes, we think, right?
We think. And I think the best is yet to come.
I think you're probably right. When are you moving down here so we can do one every day?
Dude, I wish I could. You have turned me into such a beer snob.
Go ahead. Sorry.
As you should have heard the way I was explaining I sent you a picture of the two Oktoberfest beers. I was having a battle of the Oktoberfest beers the other night. Sam Adams versus the Line and Kugel. And you should have heard the way I was explaining it to Stacy, why I like the Line and Kugel better. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Were you talking about hops and aroma and
yes. And the caramel taste. The initial taste was this, and then the finish. The finish was this, and
yeah, you're worse than I am. That's funny.
Oh, it was terrible.
That's hilarious.
It was terrible.
And the funny thing is you need to branch out more because there is so much more out there than Sam Adams and Line and Kugel's Oktoberfest beers.
I know. There's some other stuff that at Hy-Vee I almost bought the other night, stuff I'd never heard of. It was really off-the-wall stuff, and I was going to get it, but I wanted to try these first.
It's really hard to buy a six-pack, though, of something you don't know if you're going to like. So, like I said, if you can find anything in those pints, plus 9 ounces or pint bottles, they might be, $3, $4, $5, but you know what? You're not getting a whole six-pack, and you're at least getting a chance to try it out. So that's always a good thought, too. So,
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, a couple of things for us. Todd, Matt, if you could listen in, I want you to take a listen to this song. And first of all, see if you recognize this song. And second of all, tell me if you know who's singing it. You'll listen here, both of you. A good groove to it. Can you hear it okay, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jolene, Jolene.
Oh, I know this song.
Who sings this song?
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. Okay. Any idea who? Todd, you know this song, right?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me who's singing this?
I can't.
Okay. I know.
You do know who it is?
Yep, I know who this is.
You said, have you seen my tweet?
Maybe.
Would you like to tell people who it is?
It's Dolly Parton. It's that, a slowed down version.
That is very true. This is Dolly Parton's Jolene. On 33 RPM.
I can't believe how good it sounds.
Am I wrong in telling you how freaking awesome this is?
No.
Your smile,
it's amazing.
Like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you.
A little bit of a Roy Orbison thing to it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. If you want a copy of this, just go to just Google it. Just Google Dolly Parton, Jolene, 33 RPM, or something like that. You'll get a link to it.
That's pretty awesome.
I think so too. I'm glad you saw the tweet. So, I wish Todd could have guessed about 300 different names that nobody's ever heard of before. I just want to hear a little bit more of this here. It's amazing. Tell you what, this never could have been shared with the world in 1974 when this room was created. No way. I mean,
nope.
You mean you could have accidentally done it as a child on your record player, but you never could have shared it with anybody but your friends and family, and now the internet has swallowed it up, and I'm fascinated by that. I think it's so cool because 10 times out of 10, you could not play any other hit song on 33 RPM and make it sound like a better song than the original. There's no way.
No. And there are just probably such a slim selection of songs that you could get that it would even make that work, that it was even make it listenable.
Absolutely. But for some reason with Dolly Parton's voice, it works. So, you know. Yes, Todd. Yes, Todd Sheets.
I did something similar with Lemmy, actually, a Motorhead song called I Got Mine. I had off of that Another Perfect Day album, I had the single first. They released it first, and I didn't realize that it was meant to be played at 45 because it was the size of an album. So I played it at 33. Oh, my God, man. It was a lot better.
Well, was it really? That's funny.
Yeah, it really was.
But it rarely, rarely happens. But it has to have that a special – it's got to have a special tone. It's got to have a special pitch. It all has to fall together. And like I said, that is an eerie Jolene right there, especially when you find out that it's Dolly Parton's voice.
Yeah. That's like as creepy as like a good – back masking.
Yes, I would agree. I mean, you know, we've had some people ask us for more back masking. That's about the next best thing right there. So
that's better.
I honestly am thinking about putting that on my iPod. Seriously.
No, really?
No doubt. No doubt. Without a doubt. Yes. Yes. I'm honestly thinking about putting it in hot rotation too. I mean, I love that. It's very cool.
Wow.
Very cool. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every hour on? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make it an A and spin it every 2.5 hours on our radio station. No doubt.
Nice.
Definitely. So I got another song that I want to review real quick. It never occurred to me. I've heard this, but I've never really done an evaluation. And I thought it might be a good idea for us to do an evaluation. You guys remember this song?
Oh, yeah.
From Alanis Morissette. And apparently this song is called Ironic, okay? And apparently most of the things that she cites in this song are not ironic. And I think that's the whole joke of this song that people say is that, you know, Alanis Morissette in the early to mid-90s confused America by making them think the definition of irony was one thing when it's actually another thing. Matt, could you please Google for us very quickly the definition of the word ironic, please?
I sure would.
That would be fantastic. Fantastic. Then we're going to go over this song and see if she really is talking about anything at all that happens to be ironic. Yes, Matt, please.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
Using words to convey a meaning that is the opposite of its literal meaning.
Okay. Okay. So, for example, Todd Sheets runs a radio station, but he's a bad communicator. Would that probably be a kind of irony? Would that be right? Kind of? sort of.
Yeah,
kind
of,
sort
of. But also, this here it says coincidental or unexpected. It does list that as definition too.
Which is funny because I have been through this before with people. There is a difference, in my opinion, between coincidence and irony.
Yeah, and that's the whole the argument of this song, and it's always been.
Yes, yes. It's really should be called coincidental, I think.
Coincidental? Don't you think?
Listen,
you know, I don't think it has the same ring.
Okay, let's listen to this. One step at a time here. Okay, listen to the first line.
An old man turned 98. He won the lottery and died the next day.
Now, is that irony? Old man turned 98, won the lottery, and died the next day. Is that irony, or is that just bad luck?
Yeah, that's just it. I always made fun of the song as just being unlucky.
Yeah, that's bad luck. That's not irony, I think. Yeah, Todd, would you agree? Yeah, he thumbs up. He's probably on the phone
agree.
Right now.
No, I'm not on the phone.
He's trying to suffocate himself with a Walmart sack.
It's all good.
It's not worth it, Todd.
Don't do it.
After being a producer of this show for all these years.
That's right.
Well, we knew this day would come.
Oh, well. At least the heart didn't get him. So, you know.
Hey, you're still responsible, though, so you got that going for you.
That's exactly right. All right, here's the next line.
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay.
That's bad luck. Black fly in your
that's
Chardonnay.
Perkins.
That's
Isn't it just Perkins, don't you think? A little too Perkins.
You have studied this song as well. I like that. That's good. That's good. Okay, next one.
It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late.
Again, a death that row pardon. 2 minutes too late. That's not irony. I agree.
No, it just sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's sad. It's an episode of 24. You know, that's what it is. Yes, Todd Sheets.
I think it is, however, ironic that she's considered a wonderful folk singer of our generation, and I can't understand a half a word she says.
She says the same thing about you and your dissension band. Just want you to know that.
That's good, though, because we're spewing Satan's spunk from
this
hell.
Is true. That was more disgusting than my farts. Yeah.
There's a picture for you.
No kidding. Wow. Goodness. Okay, moving right along to Alanis Morissette, our favorite Canadian. Here we go.
And isn't it ironic?
No, I don't think.
Don't you think?
No, I don't. Okay, again, rain on your wedding day is known to be bad luck. Therefore, rain on your wedding day is not irony, Matt. It's called what?
Unlucky.
Unlucky. That's right. So. Free ride when you've already paid.
I mean, come on. You know what? Honestly, are you having that much trouble coming up with something that rhymed with wedding day?
I don't understand. I don't get it. I want to do more. Good advice. Good advice that you just didn't take.
Maybe you shouldn't have been such a jerk and listened to your friends.
Exactly. Mr. Play It Safe.
Was afraid to fly.
Was afraid to fly.
He packed his suitcase.
Kissed his kids goodbye. Waited his whole life
to take that flight.
Take that flight.
As the plane crashed down.
The plane crashed down.
Well, isn't this nice?
Well, isn't this nice?
Isn't it ironic?
Wait, who thinks that?
Again.
But seriously, Brad.
I can't do this anymore.
As the plane's crashing down, is that what you're thinking?
Probably not.
I'm thinking, where are the damn parachutes?
But, you know, yeah, that's true. And, you know, Alanis Morissette, though, I know why she did this song. You know why, right?
She was mad at somebody on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, because she can. That's why. You know, now, here's a song that makes sense.
Perfect sense.
Yeah.
Look, Brad, nobody's ever been confused by a Bon Jovi song. Let's put it that way.
Someday you're going to catch me on that, and you're actually going to get it right. You're going to say it, and I'm going to feel a lot better. You're going to actually know that I'm heading that direction. I don't want any more Alanis. Sorry.
No.
I don't.
She sucks.
I know. It's awful. You know, she was on You Can't Do That on Television on Nickelodeon, right?
She was?
Remember that show?
No.
Oh, well, go ahead. If you Google it during the break, You Can't Do That on Television. Ah, never mind. We'll do it another time. But You Can't Do That on Television was a very neat little show for young preteens and teenagers that I watched when I was a kid. And Alanis Morissette made an appearance there the last season or so. She was kind of a cute little girl. She had short, dark hair. And then, you know, 10 years later, she was... what'd she write the song? Was it about Ryan Reynolds? No, who'd she write the You Ought to Know About? It wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
I thought it was about...
I know the name.
You said it was Dave Coulier, didn't you?
It was my wife, I think, said that.
No, but I always heard it was somebody on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know what? Get back to us on that. But we got to take a break right now. That's a good question. I really don't know the answer on that one.
Maybe, yeah, me neither.
Maybe you can get it. We got to take a break. Todd, you ready for a break?
I'm ready.
Take a break, and we will be right back.
All right. Brad Westmar Show. We'll be right back.
What time you got?
4 o'clock.
Oh!
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a...
What's this? 4 o'clock. Martini time!
We can't drink. It's daytime. It's... the day.
40 years ago, every man in this country was half drunk by sundown. It was a gracious, golden time. And I want it back. Revolution starts here.
This is melting my eyeballs.
Yeah, that's how you know it's working.
Always over-promising and under-delivering. The Brad Westmar Show.
And welcome back to the Brad Westmar Show. And glad to be along with you as always. Why are you doing that? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? I know exactly why Todd does that. Let me tell you why Todd does that, ladies and gentlemen. He does it. Because he can. Yeah. All right, enough of that. We've got a number. We got to dial in. We got some inside information here, and we are going to make a phone call and check in with somebody very important to the show. We just learned about him here shortly. Go ahead and dial up that number if you could, please, Todd.
I'm doing it.
See if you can find him.
It's working.
It's been a while. Made a call.
Pete, exciting.
Hey, Pete Exciting, ladies and gentlemen, on the show with us for the first time.
B-Dub.
Pete Exciting. How you doing, P-Dub? How you doing?
My boy, B-Dub. Good to talk to you.
What's going on with you, man?
Man, I'm crazy busy. You have no idea what I've been up to.
What have you been up to?
Guess what I'm doing right now.
You're waxing your chest.
Nope, I got somebody doing that for me because I am on the set of... the sequel to Raccoonosaurus. Raccoonosaurus versus Awesome Possum.
Raccoonosaurus versus Awesome Possum. That's fantastic. When are we expecting a release date on that?
Let's see. Probably in a month.
Probably
they,
in a
month. They whip these things out in a hurry on Sci-Fi Network.
that they do. Nothing like a Todd Cheats film, right?
No. Those take 3 or 4 years to produce. I actually was going to audition for one, but... I didn't have that much of a time commitment on hand.
I understand, Pete. I understand. So how have things been going for you other than that? You got that gig. Have you seen any unicorns lately or anything like that?
Well, thankfully, no. But let me tell you, Brad, you got to see the size of the raccoons we got down here. Actually, you know where I'm at right now?
Where's that?
You know how close I am to Magic Matt?
How close are you to Magic Matt?
I am filming this in Hamburg, Iowa. You ever been to Hamburg, Brad?
I have been to Hamburg. It's on the way to Sioux City, Iowa, yes.
It is. We're here because it's apparently the only city in the United States where we're allowed to use HGH on animals to make them big enough for our movie. We're using the same HGH that Barry Bonds used to make his head so huge. We're doing that on these raccoons and these possums because we don't have, frankly, we don't have the budget for real special effects.
I understand. Do you have so any? Does Barry Bonds?
Smuggling in some Canadian HGH.
I love
making
it.
Making these animals bigger. It makes perfect sense.
You got to do what you got to do. I like that. I like that. So Hamburg, Iowa. Anything exciting going on there in Hamburg, Iowa, besides the making of Raccoonosaurus versus, what was it again?
Awesome Possum.
Awesome Possum, yes. Anything else going on in Hamburg, Iowa?
Well, there's a couple big entertainment hubs here. I don't know if you've ever stopped in Hamburg.
No.
But if you do, you have to stop at the social center of the town, which is the drugstore, the pharmacy here in town.
Okay.
They've also got a little ice cream shop in the back. And you know how when you're watching one of those movies or TV shows set in Boston and the main character has to go into a bar to look at for some guy named Sully,
yeah,
and he's like tied up with the mob or whatever, and there's always four of Sully's thugs there. They're waiting to kick your butt as soon as you mention Sully's name.
Right, right.
Well, here in Hamburg, at the pharmacy, if you come in and you ask about anything that was invented before 1970, there are like a half a dozen 80-year-old farmers in here that will straight up punch you in the face.
That sounds like Colorado Springs, Colorado to me. That's something.
It's awesome. You know what? I use it to my advantage. There's a guy, Clint the intern, on the set of the movie here.
Uh-huh.
I hate that guy, so I send him in there. I'll have him ask for iPod chargers. I have him ask about a Wi-Fi connection, maybe a latte. deserves it, though.
You must have. What did he do to you to deserve it? What happened?
Well, he keeps quoting Kanye West. All the time.
Whoa.
Literally every conversation.
Wait a minute. Is Clint, is he
oh, hello, there.
Or is he?
No, Clint's a white guy.
That's worse.
He's like 19 years old, and I don't know what he's going to, like, a community college in Sioux City or something. I don't know. And he's always wearing his hat to the side. The bill is never bent. I hate him. Always quoting Kanye West.
I've never
pull
even
your pants, Clint. Idiot.
I have never heard a Kanye West quote, so I don't know if I would even know it if I heard it.
Yeah, you don't want to. He's a real intelligent individual.
I guess so. So what else has been going on? I know that you're on Twitter now.
I am. Yeah. I am. I'm huge on Twitter. I have like four followers now.
Yes, you do. And I think all of them are followed by my accounts, actually. I'm in love with you.
I think there are four different Brad Westmar accounts following me.
I think you're right. What is your name? Is it just Pete Exciting? Is that what it is?
Yep, at Pete Exciting.
You'll see
me there.
Very
great.
Good.
Shot of me. Mm-hmm. It's my headshot I send out.
Yes.
To everybody. So go on there and check it out. It's great.
It is
maybe
great.
If I could get to 10, maybe. Honestly, Brad, I don't really care about Twitter. You know why?
Why is that?
Because I don't even have a phone. I don't even have a computer. I can't afford one. I'll get on there. One of the other people on the show here as a joke. My best friend on the show, my best friend in the business, is here with me.
Who's that?
And he set me up an account. Phil Smith.
Phil
Smith. Phil Smith. He's actually Will Smith's fourth white cousin.
Okay. How did that happen? He's
an actor.
Okay. Does he wear a shirt? Yep.
Phil wears shirts all the time. You do not. He's the whitest white guy in the world.
Okay.
You do not want to see Phil without a shirt. But so he's my best friend on the show. He actually died at the end of Raccoonosaurus.
Oh, that's right.
Well, have you seen it yet?
Yes, I've seen Raccoon.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, no, great movie. If they haven't rented it on DVD yet, they should get it on Netflix online. That's where I watched it. The problem with Netflix, of course, is that it's always, you know, kind of like Skype. It's always douching out on me. So, but I did eventually catch the ending, and I do know that Phil Smith, that's right, I remember that guy. His character name was, I forgot. What was his character name again? Do you remember?
Yeah, his was Danny Tanner.
Danny Tanner. Of course.
Yeah. Okay. He played Danny Tanner in that movie. He's actually back in the sequel here. He kind of guides me as a specter, you know, kind of like Obi-Wan did and to Empire Strikes Back or whatever one of the Star Wars movies was.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, he's kind of my Obi-Wan Kenobi in this movie.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So, Pete, tell me, what was it like to win a? Didn't you win a Best Actor award recently? Was that an Emmy, or what happened?
Well,
how was that?
I was actually, I've won two daytime Emmy third runner up awards for Best Abs for my work on The Sins of Consuela.
The Sins of Consuela, I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but we also did you hear about the award the Raccoonosaurus won?
I don't remember if I have. No, please tell us.
Yeah, we finished second to Prehistoric Bikini Bandits in the category of Best Vermin Gone Wild at the awards to honor science fiction films produced in less than 3 weeks. So we're pretty excited, but yeah. It would have been nice to finish first.
You should be. Pete, anything else you want to tell us here before we have to let you go? So great to hear from you.
Well, thanks again for having me on. I just want to give a quick shout out to my other co-hosts. I mentioned, or my co-stars, Phil is going to be in the movie. I'm also starring with CeCe DeVille. You remember him from Poison?
I do remember CeCe, yes. Yes.
He's awesome. He's a bad guy in this movie. And my love interest, you remember the actress that played Kimmy Gibbler on Full House?
Yes. Her name, gosh.
I have no idea what her real name is. I just call her Kimmy Gibbler.
I understand. Yeah. That's cute. That's nice. She's cute. Yeah.
Well, it's not bad, but, you know, it'll do. So she's my love interest. It's going to be awesome. Let's see. Today's, I don't know, it's the end of August or something. We'll have this thing out a couple weeks after Labor Day, no doubt.
Looking forward to it. Pete, exciting. Thanks so much for joining us. And please stay in touch with us and let us know what else is going on, okay?
Hey, Brad, guess where I'm going now?
Where?
After we finish shooting here in a few minutes, I'm going to head over to there's literally, no joke, there is literally a strip club right across from the Little League Park here in Hamburg.
That I am aware of. And please let us know.
I think it's called the Seventh Inning Stretch or something like that. I'm going to head over there, check it out. Maybe I'll get you a T-shirt or something. How would that be?
That'd be great.
I'll get you a T-shirt.
Hey, the next time you're on the show, please let us know how the talent is there. I'm sure it's young and ripe.
I'm just hoping they have both legs, Brad, to be honest with you.
I understand. It's funny you say that, but never mind. We'll let you go. Pete, thanks for joining us, my man.
Thanks, B-Dub. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later, man. Ladies and gentlemen, there he is. Pete Exciting. Gotta love him. Yay. Gotta love him. Speaking of, I was going to talk about Magic Matt. Matt was like not there the entire time. Matt, are you there now? What happened to you?
Matt, do I get to ask any questions?
I didn't know
what?
You were there. You didn't even talk.
Well, you guys wouldn't shut up. The guy never shuts up.
I'm sorry. That's true.
I mean, you barely got in a word with that guy.
This is true. I do want to mention to you real quick, we didn't get to it tonight, but he was mentioning about having both legs on the strippers, and we have that list of filias here, and the very first one on the list is acrotomophilia, love of amputees.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost as if Pete had the show notes.
It's almost like he may have. Love of amputees. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I have seen some interesting things like that. I think I saw some amputee porn one time.
Oh, gosh. That is literally one of the last things I'd ever want to see.
Yeah, I'd rather watch midget porn than watch amputee porn, I think. I don't know.
I gotta remember not to take a drink of water when you're talking about porn on the show.
I'm sorry about that. Yes, Todd Sheets.
Just want to let you know, I have a bead. I almost picked it up for you. I have a bead on an actual My Buddy doll, mint in package, and it's really, really cheap. And I'm going to try to pick that up and put it in the studio here.
Oh, my God.
That would be sweet.
That would be nice. The guy that never listens to our show anymore. Think, you know, if you can afford a Todd, I understand. But, hey, if you can't, no big deal, because I don't want you going out. I mean, you got things to worry about. But I appreciate that. That's cool.
Cheap.
Very cool. Very cool. Hey, we're wrapping things up. Magic Matt, I'm sorry you didn't get to speak to Pete Exciting, but maybe next time, my friend. Do you have three things for us?
Actually, no.
You're kidding me.
No.
You can do it on the fly. Wait, you can.
I'll do it on the fly.
You can do it on the fly. Hey, one, two, three. Matt, three things. Please take us away.
We're going to do a quick Pete Exciting version of three things.
Let's do it.
Number one, yes. I've got to rent Prehistoric Bikini Bandits.
Yeah, it sounds hot. Yeah.
If Stacy will let me.
It actually sounds like a Todd Sheets movie. Yeah.
Which I doubt.
Probably not. Probably not.
Number two.
Yes.
Number two. I didn't know Kimmy Gibbler was still acting.
I don't think she is. I thought she was like in high school now or something. I don't know.
Shouldn't she be in college by now?
College by now, or
no? Well, it's Gibbler Community College.
Exactly. And by the way, she's no Candace Cameron. Wink, wink. Okay.
No, not at all.
Hello. Speaking of hockey players. Okay. Yes. And number three. Yes.
Number three.
Yes.
Remind me to be very careful the next time. Well, what I say and ask for the next time I go and ask for an ice cream cone down in Hamburg, Iowa.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. Yes. Thank you so much, Magic Matt. Hamburg, Iowa, a very interesting place to hang out, supposedly. We'll have to see. Magic Matt, are you really going to break your streak? You're breaking your streak next week.
Brad, we're doing a segment on the phone. I'm going to make it work.
You're going to make it happen?
If that's cool with you, I might have to do another, like I did a Taylor Swift concert, but I can do a phone in. I'll have time for that.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to say the same thing to you that I've said to every guest on this show that says they want to call in. Back on the old show, too, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Have something to say. Or as Jim Rome would say, have a take, do not suck. Have something. Have something.
It'll be the Brad Westmar Show Fantasy Football Special.
That'll work.
I'll give you some sleepers or something.
All right. We'll see what happens. That sounds good. We will talk to you next week in some way, shape, or form. Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And Todd Sheets, our executive producer, who's always on board with my buddy. God love him. And we will talk to you next week, Todd and I for sure. And we'll catch Magic Matt on the phone, too. So without further ado, I'm out. See you. Be replaced. You know,